Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined here with my incredible co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. Today, we will be talking about the sensitive, yet sometimes comical subject of how God feels about dysfunctional families. Now, I know, Michelle, when we talked about this a little bit over the weekend, we thought there's such a side to this that is extremely heavy, but there's also a side of it that we have to continue to reflect on, remembering that we cannot take ourselves that seriously, that we are prone to disappoint ourselves, prone to disappoint people, and that sometimes we have to adjust our expectations, because the truth is, if you interact with people at all, dysfunction is inevitable. And you have to know how to re-navigate or redirect your thoughts back to Christ, because that's really the only hope you have of stabilizing the situation.
You know, I agree. Dysfunctional can be fun.
Oh,
I'll just put it right
okay.
out there.
Okay.
You know, because it can't be avoided.
Right.
Who's perfect 24/7?
Right.
Well, Trinity is.
Right.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit make this beautiful family mm-hmm. that is perfect all the time.
Yes.
I'm perfect once in a while, maybe a few hours a month.
Really? You actually make it to once in a while?
Well, like maybe, you know, if I'm sitting quietly on the couch for an hour.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're really focusing on not actually talking to anyone or doing anything.
Oh, my gosh.
No wonder. But yeah, that's a great point. And that is my point. You know, as we rub up against each other, we're rubbing up against people's past, people's insecurities, people's fears, and your own. So how could you expect someone to perform well, quote unquote, 100% of the time?
Okay.
If everything is not all well in our hearts, then of course that's going to manifest itself. And it's a reminder of how much we need Christ.
Amen. Now, my husband and I have been together for 37 years,
Woo!
Only by the grace of God,
okay.
the word of God, and the body
That's
of Christ.
That's amazing, because I've heard some interesting stories
gosh.
From you.
You have no idea of the coffee cups that have been thrown, and it's not my husband throwing them.
Wow.
But if you're thinking that your family's dysfunctional, well, you're in good company.
Mm-hmm.
Barnabas Piper. Mm. This is, now maybe we don't know him, maybe that's not a common name. He is the son of the evangelical megapastor, John Piper.
Yep.
In 2014, he wrote a book, The Pastor's Kid, discussing insights from his childhood.
Okay.
It discussed, and this is in quotation marks from his book, dysfunction and conflict of his upbringing with honest insights into his childhood.
Wow.
It's so honest. He got his dad, John Piper, to write the foreword.
Nice. Oh, I love that. I love that. Just go ahead and admit it. Go ahead and be transparent. And again, the focus shouldn't be remaining on you. Yes, I have problems, but I'm following God. Yes, there are some things in my life, in my family, amongst my relationships that probably shouldn't be there, but our crutch is Christ. And you know, I think if you have security in Christ, you can do something like that, like write a foreword where your son exposes everything about the dysfunction of your family, saying, yep, it's God that's held us together.
Let me read a little bit from that foreword. John writes, "You will ask, was it painful for me to read this book? The answer is yes. First, it exposes the sins, weaknesses, and imperfections in me. Second, it's not always clear which of the criticism attached directly to me or to the church I love. Third, this is my son. He's writing out of his own sorrow."
Wow.
Barnabas said that growing up as the son of a well-known pastor was like being a sinner on a display. He admits his biggest struggles came after he moved out of the house. He said, "I thought I was close to God because I knew all the answers. I could answer every question that the youth pastors threw at me about a relationship with God, but I fooled myself into thinking that knowing about God was the same as having a relationship with God."
Wow.
He said, "Now I have a relationship with Christ."
Wow.
You know, my kids are ages 45 to 25. They've had several different mothers in me.
Mm-hmm,
because in 20 years, you know, I've
You've been
changed.
All these different people.
I have changed so much.
Yes.
You know, and
yeah.
I tell them, write your books. It'll pay for your therapy.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, I love what John Piper is saying, and I love what his son is saying, because we can really depend on our intellect. You know, we can just have this formulaic way of thinking about the Bible and about the application of it. You know, I know that verse. Oh, I know the verse to say right now when I'm asked that question. I know what to write down on my paper. I know how to write this paper if I'm in Bible college. I know how to appease my professor. Ooh. But it's very different when there's an intimacy between you and God. And I was thinking, Michelle, even about that illustration in Genesis where we hear about the intimacy that began between God and Adam, you know, and that in between God picking up the dust and actually breathing the life into Adam. I just thought about this lifeless being, and it really created this picture of me of, that's what it means to exist, even as a follower of Christ. If you don't have that intimacy there to ignite the life inside of you, you're just walking around, reciting verses, doing Christian things, but there's no abundance. So that picture of God saying, yes, you're going to come from the earth, but I am what actually activates your heart. You know, that's what we have to truly remember. And if there's no activation there, then of course we're going to say, I'm saying something biblical, but I don't really sense anything biblical happening inside of me, you know, and that's not God's design. His word has power. It doesn't return void. So if there's something else competing with him, we can sense it.
Yes.
We can sense it. And it can clearly lead to the wrong road that impacts our lives forever.
You know, I've been thinking recently about the relationship my grandchildren have with their dads. Oh. And I wanted to think about and write something or even make a little video for them talking about the difference between having a relationship with your dad as a person who in 20 years will be your best friend and then being a child and having a relationship with your dad's rules.
Oh, wow.
You know, there's so many no's.
That's great.
And the children, I think, confuse this.
Yes, yes.
You know, can I go outside? No. Have you finished your chores yet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, dad. And we get mad. And sometimes we do this with our father in heaven. Mm-hmm. We get mad at the rules instead of relaxing in the relationship.
Yes, that's so true. Yeah.
So before we really go into dysfunctional families, let's talk a little bit about a functioning family.
Okay.
And I think a family reveals God's character like nothing else on earth.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there's gardens, there's vineyards, there's sheepfolds, there's different things. But a family, the love of a husband and wife, provides a glimpse into our relationship with Christ and his love for the bride. The ups and downs of child rearing. Have you had any ups and downs,
my
Jasmine?
Goodness.
I'm sure you haven't. They are teaching us to be patient tender.
They are.
Like God is towards us.
Mm-hmm.
But a family does more than just reflect God's character. It provides a safe place where people can experience love and learn how to love others. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're teaching your boys and girls, boy and girls.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
To share.
Yes, yes. But I love this because that is the gift of having a family. You know, you have an opportunity to impart an amazing culture within your family of what we do to support each other and what is absolutely not okay. And having those boundary lines be very clear and taught over and over again is what makes up the tone of whether or not we have a comfort level with each other, whether or not we have security with each other, and whether or not we feel a freedom to fail in front of each other.
Wow, you know? That's beautiful. You know, I just want to put an aside right now. We're going to stop. Does a married couple need to have a child before we call them a family?
Mm.
And I'm going to say, I've looked on the internet for definitions. It was all very child-centered. You have children. I have children. Pastor Schaller has children. Mm-hmm. But not everyone has children.
Right.
So are they disqualified? And the answer for me is no.
No.
There were no children in the Garden of Eden. And yet God called creation complete. And he rested on the seventh day. There were no diapers hanging from the trees in the Garden of Eden. You know, and borrowing from Pastor Schaller's biblical psychology class, a functional family is where we find significance and security.
Wow.
And Adam and Eve had that with God.
Yes.
So Adam, Eve, and God were a family.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Several years ago, we had a pandemic. I'm sure someday we're going to laugh and say, oh, yeah, remember? My generation says, remember Y2K, and we laugh.
Oh.
I'm sure your generation will say, remember that pandemic?
Yeah.
Well, our lives were turned upside down. Everything was canceled. We were forced to adapt to a new way of living.
Yes.
But we had to spend more time with our families. Mm. It was so wonderful. It was exciting. It felt like being in the Garden of Eden or on the boat with Noah. You're cooped up with your family.
I was going to say
24/7.
I think some people thought it was wonderful, and some people were begging schools to reopen and trying to find the key to the daycare centers and pleading the directors because, you know, we have capacities, and sometimes when those capacities are full or stretched, we respond in the natural, right?
Sure.
It's not that we don't love our family. It's not that we don't love our children, but we're only one person and we have our own personal needs, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing. When you have a family, you have an opportunity to get to know these ways about each other. You know, my children are already learning when mommy is upset, she needs to be quiet because she will regret what she says if she keeps talking in anger. And it's slipped out before, and everyone has learned, oh, this is why we do need to be quiet, you know? So you don't want to repeat things like that, but I'm allowed to be myself in my family and know that even if it's not your favorite quality about me, there is a genuine acceptance there because the culture of our family is, how do we continue to accept each other as we change, as we grow? You know, I've even been sitting down with my daughter, who's 4, saying, I want to explain what it means when your brother needs to have boy time, because he is designed differently and he is interested in different things. And that doesn't mean he doesn't love you, but he needs that space to be himself in another way, just like when you're playing with some of your friends. And she's really been pondering it like, okay, if I can support him in this way. And so now they have this little rule between him. He'll say, you know, Lillian, I need 5 minutes to be alone, or 5 minutes. I'm just going to go play with someone on the playground, but I do love you still, you know, and it's beautiful because we need those reassurances before we start responding in our feelings, saying, wait, this, I'm being rejected. Something is wrong here. You know, and that's what we really reach out for and what ends up causing a lot of dysfunction. We have these natural responses, sometimes very much based on projections, and then we act on them until there's no fellowship with God anymore. So it's like this series of a lack of God's presence, and we're still moving forward, but it's in the most corrupt ways.
Well, Jasmine, we're going to have you teach a class what? To the newly married couples.
Oh my gosh, no way.
You can share those exact things because as a wife, and I homeschooled, so I was home, you were homeschooling, and when our husbands walk in the door, it's like a hallelujah breakdown.
Oh my gosh.
But sometimes they need that decompression time.
They do.
You know?
But so do we.
Yes. Sometimes it was all my husband and I. It was a race to say, you've got Jason.
Oh, really?
And who could grab their car keys and run out the door?
Well, I think one way that I have changed, Michelle, is by fellowshipping with God about those kind of sore areas in my heart that would really focus on being more selfish than saying, okay, let me think about what both of us need when he gets here. He's reacclimating to his family life. He's just had this whole day of management. And even though he's been around other kids, they're not his own children, you know, different expectations. And then for me, am I really going to just die if as soon as he walks in the door, I say, you can have 10, 15 minutes to get a bowl of cereal, make a cup of coffee, whatever? No. But who is the focus on? Is it on me? Or am I expecting something of him that may be unfair? You know, and those are godly thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, I really think that when we look at what the true definition of what dysfunction is, Michelle, it's described as being abnormal or improper.
Okay.
And so if my thoughts are supposed to be in my original image, which is with God, then anything outside of that is going to create an abnormality or an improper action.
Very good.
You know, that's just the simplistic way to think about it. And then that can just multiply and multiply into disaster.
Absolutely.
You know, so we need that fellowship with God.
Absolutely. You know, every family has its own set of wonderful, admirable qualities and messes.
Yes.
You know, let's go back to Adam and Eve. Mm. They were in a pandemic-like situation, all alone together. all the time. I got you, babe, and only you. There's no shopping, no internet, no Netflix, you know, no church. Just a boy and his bride, 24/7. Mm. Sounds like heaven, or maybe a place that's a little bit hotter.
Oh,
you know, did they need alone time? Mm. You know, I don't know. Mm. But our OG, and that's original generation, they could have lived out their marriage in perfect bliss. They were in paradise. No mother-in-laws, okay?
I love my mother-in-law. I know everybody doesn't say the same, but no, I see what you're saying. You know, like when we think about the original relationship that God created, his emphasis was time together.
Yes.
His emphasis was relationship building.
Yes.
His emphasis was, this is what you have, so into it.
Oh, beautiful.
You know,
I
love that. But we see, as they did grow their family, the first sibling murder that we witness in the Bible is amongst their two children when there was jealousy that just completely took over. Mm. And you know, that is a very real thing. That's a very real thing that exists in families. Even if you're doing wonderful things as a parent, Michelle, you cannot go inside of your child's heart and turn it in the specific directions you want it to go. You can't do that for yourself. You can't do that, period. And that's why we need God. We need God for the times that our eyes are looking somewhere else and our heart is divided.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to read this quote to you because I thought it was very freeing about the structure of families. So it says, "Family harmony is a good desire and something to work toward, but in God's plan, it may not be what is most needed. What may be most needed is for our family to be a crucible of grace, a place where the heat of pressure forces sin to surface, providing opportunities for the gospel to be understood and applied. And when this happens, the messes become mercies."
Wow.
I absolutely loved it. And ironically enough, this is from the co-founder of Desiring God Ministry, who is also including Pastor John Piper. His name is John Bloom, and it's from his book, Not by Sight, A Fresh Look at Old Stories of Walking by Faith. You know, we have to remember, dysfunction is not something new. The Bible is full of dysfunctional families. And you know what?
Oh, yeah.
I think we actually find a lot of hope in that.
Oh.
Oh, gosh, that's so wonderful. That, I mean, it's not wonderful, but in a way it's wonderful because then it makes me feel like I have a chance at God using me. And he doesn't look down and say, "What is this? You have my word. This is the standard. You're not meeting it." He's saying, "Hey, listen, I can work beyond that, but don't forget it's me that does the work."
One thing I think in our Instagrammable society is trying to find perfection in your family or trying to have the family be the source of joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not designed to do that.
Right.
And I like the word you use, crucible. That's that's hot place. Let's talk about Abraham and Sarah, the father of our faith, who messed up so very much. And it's okay. They went to Egypt, and he has a beautiful wife. They're telling us Sarah, I don't know, with all the veils and stuff, what were her ankles amazing, her wrists? I don't know what you're seeing there. But she was obviously so beautiful that he lied about her and told Pharaoh, "Oh, she's my sister." And yeah, she's his half-sister, but they've been married for decades now. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine Sarah, like, really? Really, Abe, you're pulling this one? She gets drafted into Pharaoh's harem. And then before they had any kind of intimacy, God has to intervene. And even Pharaoh is now mad at Abraham. Like, really? What are you doing? Can you imagine their drive home that evening?
That is a really tense car ride. No, maybe on the horse. It was just those flares.
Bumpity bump.
Yeah. But you know, I love this. I love this picture of Sarah and Abraham, because this was kind of how Abraham was still dealing with an insecurity, you know? And that's the thing. We have to go ahead and admit, Michelle, even as believers, that does not mean we don't have any insecurities within our faith. That is not what it means to be Christian.
Good point.
That's not what it means to follow God. It just means that I am by faith pursuing him more than I'm pursuing the things telling me not to pursue him, you know? And I just love that even in the midst of saying, wow, Abraham and Sarah, oh my gosh, these iconic biblical characters from the Bible, we're seeing faults, you know? They're very, very prevalent faults on the part of Abraham. And then even later with Sarah, you know, she actually declares, God is preventing me. He's preventing me from bearing kids. Do you know the kind of reputation I need to have as a woman? Do you know how disgraceful it is if I don't have kids? I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take the wheel. Abraham, listen, this is what you're going to do. You know, and I'm just thinking about how much those insecurities were guiding this decision, you know, and this is us. God, I have a specific timeline that I'm not going to tell you about. I have specific expectations I'm not going to tell you about. And as far as this person is concerned, this is who they should be. So if it's not fitting my mold within the ways that I think it should, then I'm going to intercede. I'm going to intercede for you, God, because you need my help, God. And I would definitely say that is the beginning of a dysfunctional situation.
Incredible.
You don't swap roles with God.
No. No, and you don't tell your husband to take another wife.
You absolutely don't. Directly out of God's will cannot be God's will.
If this is news to anybody, okay, yep, one husband, one wife. But even after this indiscretion on the part of both of them,
right.
God does not wash his hands of them.
Right.
They are not disqualified. God right. doesn't take back his promise, mm-hmm. although we would have.
Right, absolutely.
We would have been like, oh yeah, you guys are, you're off the island.
Right.
The two of you.
Right.
No. They continue, even though they're a flaming, dysfunctional family.
Yep.
God covers.
Yes, yes. And you know, he does that. I think that's what we have to remember the most, because there are some people that have gone through some extremely heavy, devastating, dysfunctional circumstances.
Yeah.
But you know, one thing that I really was meditating on, Michelle, is we get so stuck. We can get so stuck in what happened to us. And a lot of that pain and resentment, I would actually say, is very valid.
Sure.
But in order to turn our thoughts away, I really believe that God wants us to meditate on the idea of legacy. Because legacy is something that you can leave behind in the situation.
Beautiful.
I'm going to take what happened and I'm going to keep applying Christ as best I can. And then when I pass away, in addition to knowing that I was wounded, people will also know my hands were raised towards Christ the entire time, asking him for renewed strength, for renewed faith, for endurance, for clarity, you know? And I just think that it's such a wonderful notion to really gaze upon. What will my legacy be? Because it doesn't have to be that this wound ended everything. It doesn't have to be that this person who hurt me so badly created the end of my life, you know, but there's hope in Christ as we move forward.
Beautiful. Let's jump to David, man after God's own heart, married one woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And had a perfect family.
Mm-mm.
No, he
Mm-mm.
did not. The list of his kids and wives is really daunting. And Bathsheba.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
He stole her from one of his best friends and then had his friend killed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like criminal.
I know.
Like, really? This is the king?
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It is the king. And his children follow after with, you know, murder and rape and betrayal and violence.
Wow.
So there's a little aside here. Parents, your kids are going to do just what you do. But
they are watching.
You know, it's incredible how God redeemed that.
Yes.
And not only did he not become disqualified to be king, he will be king with Jesus in the millennial kingdom. If I don't have my theology right, God, please go to Bible college and correct that, everybody. But he doesn't get disqualified.
Right.
Having a perfect family is not your qualification to be used by God or loved by God.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think actually the whole focus of perfection is what can choke out so many awesome qualities. You know, even reflecting on the quote that I read before, that's the thing that we have to remember. where is the opportunity to apply grace? Because it's actually when it becomes very, very, very messy. I mean, like, disgustingly messy sometimes, Michelle. That's when we want to depart from grace and say, no, 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 this is too bad. This is too bad. I remember even meeting someone in college when I was so fresh in my walk. And I remember talking to him and I said, you know, the thing about God's grace is that it applies to everybody who confesses and surrenders to him. And he said, you got to be kidding me. What about the guy who murders somebody? What about the guy who rapes? I said, if he confesses it, God will wash it. He will clean it. And he said, no way, no way. And I understood, you know, when we have our personal convictions about what's right and wrong, it is very hard to let God kind of push the envelope on that. But if we also say that God's word is true, especially as believers, there is such an element of faith involved even when something rises up in us saying, I disagree. Are we saying also, okay, God, but not my will? Not my will, God, but your will.
Well, the whole message of the cross is all sin is paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not minimizing sin or telling anybody to jump out and rob a bank or
right.
have an affair today.
Right.
Because all sin, even though it's paid for, it still has consequences.
Yes, yes.
You know,
and
you
they
have
are
an affair,
effects.
It's going to ruin your family.
Absolutely.
You rob a bank, you're going to jail.
Right.
You know, and your Christian friends aren't going to cover for you.
Right.
They're going to be, because there's such a thing as judgment and justice.
Yes, absolutely.
But yes, sin is paid for. So we would imagine God would put his son Jesus in a perfectly functional family, right? He's going to pick out Mary and Joseph. No, even though his birth in the New Testament is miraculous, and we were just celebrating it this Christmas season, he's born of a virgin, but the whispers around the family are scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
Mary jumps up and runs for 3 months.
Wow.
And then comes back and tells Joseph what I'm sure she sweated about for
I'm
3 months.
I'm sure, yes.
You know, how to tell this guy, and he doesn't believe her.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to divorce her immediately
right.
and negate all the legal contracting. God said, nope,
mm-hmm.
no, plan B,
mm.
not plan A, not plan B, plan C.
Okay.
We're going to get married. And they go to Bethlehem and they stay there maybe
yes.
for as long as 2 years. Why?
Mm.
To get away from the whispers.
Right.
And then after
right.
Egypt, they didn't even want to go back. They were headed back to mm-hmm. Bethlehem.
Mm.
And God had to send an angel and force them to go back to Nazareth.
Wow.
So imagine coming home to Nazareth after all these years
wow.
of being away. And guess what? You're thinking, well, maybe everyone's forgotten.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh,
they were waiting.
Didn't.
Isn't that her? Isn't that? Oh, she looks a little different, but that's her.
Oh my
you know,
gosh.
We fear that so much, right? How
yeah.
much does that influence us? I mean, our focus can be so far away from Christ that now I'm just worried about what this person is going to say about me. According to her definition of me, then I'm complete. You know,
wow.
and that can be a big insecurity.
Of course.
You know, and don't we all want that? Don't we all want to walk around saying, I know I'm about to be around people that I have full approval of? But you know what? Why do we need it that bad? Like, can we handle mm-hmm. when somebody says, mm-hmm. I don't like you for this reason?
Mm-hmm.
And we can say, I understand that you have your opinion, but God knows me. I'm not hiding anything about myself from him. And you know what? He actually has a plan for me.
Amen.
So I hope you and him work that out because it doesn't really have to do with me.
Amen.
You know?
We're getting some great comments from Facebook. Thank you.
Hi,
Madeline, Kia.
Oh,
beautiful.
Thank
Barbara,
you.
Thank you for that comment.
Yes.
Well, have you ever forgotten your child in the car or in the grocery store?
No.
Okay.
I have heard too many stories. I look back even when I'm still driving the car, when I just feel like maybe I just...
Well, in 2012, parents of a 3-year-old daughter, a girl, forgot their daughter at Chuck E. Cheese right near me in Bel Air, Maryland.
Oh, no.
They didn't realize it until they saw her picture on the evening news, people.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a big party. There was family and friends. She was left behind.
Mm-mm.
She played until 8 p.m. when they were closing the Chuck E. Cheese.
Wow.
And she asked the manager for a drink and told him she was thirsty. He couldn't find her parents.
Wow.
He called the cops. They couldn't find them, and they put it on the evening news and got a call from the parents.
Oh, my gosh.
But the parents had thought she had gone home with an aunt or an uncle. You know, maybe something was said, somebody... And they didn't arrest her. They realized in 2012 it was an honest mistake.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Mary and Joseph lost Jesus too.
You know what?
Oh,
they did.
And he was 12. And they lost him for 3 days. Can you imagine? You go to the library and you come home and 3 days later you say, wait a minute.
I knew I was forgetting something.
Yes.
But, you know, we can't throw shade on them because he's 12. And in Matthew 13, they say, is not his mother Mary and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simeon, and Judas, are not all his sisters with us?
Mm.
In 12 years, they could have had 6 other kids.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we've got a family with 7 kids.
Wow.
And they lost one. We would just be like, really? Only one?
Right.
You know, and the oldest, the most capable one,
yeah.
You're doing good, people.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You know, it's true. You know, like you can't put yourself on this pedestal and say, because I love my kids, I would never. I mean, there were so many I would never phrases that I said when I was not a mom. And now I'm just like, wow, there is such a value in being silent when I'm not in someone else's position. But on the other side of that, Michelle, there's also so much mercy and grace that is needed when your humanity takes over a situation.
Sure.
You know, and of course it wasn't intentional, but from there, what can you do? You know, and that's the part that I'm saying we have to really focus on. Whatever has happened, whatever shouldn't have happened, whoever is still in your life, and as soon as you look in their face, you think about the past. What can you do from here? Because one ability that we don't have is going back in the past and erasing what happened.
If only we had that TARDIS.
However, I know,
blue phone box where we could zoom back.
But you know what? Sometimes, and we were just thinking about this yesterday and hearing about this at our church in Edgewood, sometimes God allows that hardship to remain fresh in your memory because it keeps you close to Him.
Amen.
And that's what He wants. He wants that ongoing intimacy with you. So even when we hear about Paul begging, you know, for that thorn to be removed in his flesh, that could very well have been what grounded him and kind of sobered him, reminding him, listen, I have capability, but it's God who holds me together.
You know, maybe you don't have a thorn. Maybe you have a child who's going the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, and your heart is more broken for them than it would have been for you experiencing that hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Christian, there's pressure on you to appear godly.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's hard to face your family chaos when at church everyone seems to have it all together.
Right.
You know, and as young Christians, we may have lulled ourselves into a false sense of security, thinking that divorce, abuse, addiction, violence, infidelity, conflict were pagan problems. And once you got saved, you wouldn't have any of that.
Mm.
Once you got saved, you certainly weren't going to be a parent like your parents were.
Mm.
But the reality is we're all sinners. We all live in this broken world. And just being a Christian does not protect us from our own selfishness.
No, it doesn't. You're always with yourself. You do have a flesh, you know. And, you know, human beings have always battled this lingering resistance to God's original vision for us. You know, I love what you said about family. What was the original vision for humanity? What was the original vision for family? It was peace.
Mm.
It was unity. It was ongoing fellowship with God.
Beautiful.
You know, it was obedience because He knows what you need to be doing. He made you. So how can you move forward and say, I'm going to separate myself from God and still trust that? If God has revealed to you what you should and should not be engaging in, pray about what you disagree with and honor him by walking by faith in as much as you can, because he took the time to make you. He took the time to breathe into Adam. He communicated from the very beginning, this is what I want between us. I want us to be able to look into each other's faces, spiritually speaking, and know each other. I want you to know me. And if you know me and you're gazing at me, it protects you when all these other darts are coming into your mind saying, no, look over here.
Very good. You know, each dysfunctional family we just mentioned from Scripture, we're all deeply devoted to God.
Mm-hmm.
Adam and Eve walked with God, like really every day.
Yes.
They were so relaxed, they didn't know they were naked.
Right.
Now, I
right.
always know when I'm naked. You know, it's never, oh my. But can you imagine being with God and
yes.
so relaxed?
So much freedom.
Yes, the freedom yes. and the liberty. Abraham had this long-term covenant. David, his heart was after God. Mary and Joseph
yes.
paid the price
yes.
for God's plan. But faith is not a safeguard
right.
that's
right.
going to keep us from imperfection.
Right.
Christian parents can still hurt their kids.
Yes.
Christian spouses can still harm their marriage.
Yes.
Christian families can still be dysfunctional. But rather than slapping a label, dysfunctional family,
right.
why don't we say that every family has dysfunctional moments?
Yes. I think that is definitely a more accurate statement, because it's only a matter of time before you discover that this actually was deep down inside of you. You know, or the friendship that you have with a cousin or a sibling maybe isn't what you thought it was. And what comes out first? The natural response.
Sure.
The natural response, you know. And we can't say that God intentionally created us as people, and then when he sees our qualities as people come out, then we are reprimanded for it. You know, there's no shock value. Oh, yep. Sometimes they do that. Mm-hmm. Yep. From the beginning, I tried to tell them they don't like listening to me, you know, but it's not over.
Amen.
It's not over, you know, and I love that. I love that we always have this hope in Christ, because as we learn in Romans 12:2, he can renew our minds, right? You have one moment of insanity, maybe coffee cup, Michelle.
Oh my.
And then you have another moment where you're fellowshipping and saying, Lord, I'm so undone. I'm so insecure. And that's where that came from. You know, things trigger our actions. And sometimes we don't even know how much is so deep seated in us, Michelle.
It's incredible.
You know?
But spiritual growth and emotional health are two different things, and they grow at different rates.
Mm-hmm,
you can be an incredibly spiritual person
mm-hmm.
and yet not be able to keep your mouth shut
right.
when you're losing your temper.
Right.
But that's where the grace of God comes in.
Yes.
And the thing that should define your family is not your perfection, but how about humility?
Yes. I love that. I love when you can tell that someone is in Christ, not because of what their spiritual resume is, but because you can see humility, you can see surrender, and you can see ongoing pursuit of God as all of these things continue to hit their life. You know, that's what it is, because God never promised us. If we want to be like him, of course, we're going to have to experience hardships. He never promised us following me means you are excluded from being in situations that make you drastically uncomfortable or make you feel ashamed. You know, that's just not part of being a person and being around other people. But I love Pastor Stephen's devotional From the Throne. You know, he talked about how we can get lost in this self-analysis. Rather than allowing God to be the solution.
That's beautiful.
He encourages us, experience God as the solution. It's not always this brilliant idea. It's okay to say, you know what, why don't we just try to be with God in this situation? Why don't we just have some time to pray and then come back together? I'm not really hearing you. I'm feeling attacked.
Mm.
And maybe that's triggering something else that has nothing to do with this, but it's a part of my past that is still following me. You know, I've even heard people say things so far as to say, Michelle, I feel like sometimes when I'm in the bedroom with my husband that there's like 6 or 7 other people there. because I still have these ghosts, so to speak, about some of the mistakes that I've made in my past, or maybe something that I did not voluntarily engage in.
Sure.
You know, and those things have ripple effect. Those things follow you, you know, but experiencing God is the solution. Just fellowshipping with Him, continuously trying to seek His mind. I mean, His thoughts are so much higher. So even when we're meditating on what He's thinking, it really knocks us out of these places where we can be so stuck.
Yeah.
You know, and thank God He's so different from us. Amen. We need that.
Amen.
You know, we need it so much.
Thanks to Aretta for joining us YouTube.
Hi.
We love you, honey. Thank you. Well, John Piper, whose son's book I referenced at the start of this episode, has a great quote. He said, "The most dangerous thing in the world is the sin of self-reliance and the stupor of worldliness."
Wow.
I have a great book from Dr. Stevens. Ooh. It's called Choose Life and Resist the Devil.
All right.
It's from December 1st, 1996.
Wow.
And he says passivity in the home will lead to dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just got to read this quote.
Oh, yes, please.
For you. He says, "Everything depends on our choices." I'm quoting, "More families have broken up simply because people made the wrong choices. Mm. They live in immorality because of wrong choices. They cry in their bedroom over nothing and refuse to praise God and rejoice in Him."
Wow.
"They will say, 'I feel so blue. I think I will have a blue Christmas.'" Dr. Stephen says, "Knock it off. Get right with God. Repent and praise Him. Shout to the Lord. Sing. Glorify the King. Get right. Live for somebody outside yourself. Get outside of your emotions.
Yes.
Get away from the weakness of your soul. Denounce your wrong decisions. Repent. Shut off those emotions and stop living by feelings. Get with God. Start confessing the truth of who you are in Christ.
Mm.
Choose life. Say, 'I'm a Christian. I'm seated above. I have God in me. My sins are paid for. I'm going to live in heaven. I'm going to choose life, choose obedience, choose faith, choose the right confession, choose to think with God. I'm not going to be the devil's doormat.
Mm.
I don't need a single thing to make me any more content than I am right now.
Mm.
I am filled with God's Spirit, and that produces joy, joy, joy. Thank you, Lord. Amen."
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
All right. You got a dysfunctional family.
Get this booklet. Read it every week. No, I love that. And I love the emphasis. The focus should not be on you. You know, so often, Michelle, we want the answer to come from us. We want it. We want to be able to produce those revelations and say, "I don't need anyone else." That's just in us as people. Yeah. But I love this. I love the focus on the choices because there are some people who say that's what life is. It is a series of choices that you have made and you living them out and experiencing the consequences, you know. But, you know, we can always make the most important choice, and that is to choose Christ. You know, I was reading a book by somebody who she wrote a book called "This Is Not the Life I Signed Up For."
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many references to Christ, of very real examples of shortcomings in her life where she has found God again. And one of the things she says, her name is Donna Bartow. She says, "First, we make our choices, and then our choices make us."
Yeah, she's not wrong, but God.
Yes.
But God.
Yes.
And, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah.
We see that we've got someone from Romania. I think, how would we say her name?
I'm not sure.
Saplia Racula?
Yes.
Oh, honey, I know I didn't say that right, but thank you so much for joining us.
We're so glad that you all were here with us today. You know, we have to live an uncovered life before God, Michelle.
Amen.
No matter what the disaster was, God can redeem it. He is a God of redemption, as you previously stated. And just before you think He's going to give up on you, pick up your Bible and remember that everyone who came before you has messed up in some way. And God said, "Let's move forward in my name." Isn't that an amazing hope to clutch?
Amen.
We need it. We need it every day.
Amen.
It's not the end. It's not over, and there's no shock value with God. He wants us, and He wants that intimacy to grow and grow and grow.
Well, we invite you to join for the rest of the week if you're live, or look in the archives for the rest of this week. They're going to be discussing divorce, remarriage, the death of a spouse or a child, conflict, offenses, or workaholism.
Wow.
So pick your symptom and come and listen and see what the Lord has to say for you.
Wow. It's going to be amazing. Yes, let's remember, let's experience God as the solution. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, everyone. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to join us for the next show tomorrow as we continue to discuss dysfunction and God's heart towards dysfunction. We love you guys. God bless you.
Bye.